I want to see you. In the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Oh, I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see. Holy, 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 I want to see you. That's what we want to see this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's read Psalms 75, please. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved, that bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put it down one, he set it up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poured out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall bring out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's have a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once more you've brought us here, dear Lord God, because this is where we need to be, dear Lord Jesus, to hear from you today. Pray that you'll bless those that are on the way, or the pastor get ready, dear Lord God, that you'll strengthen them and bless them with your word, dear Jesus. Everyone is here, dear Lord God, because we want to hear from you. Things happening in all of our lives, dear Lord God, and we need you more than ever. May you bless us now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. On fire. Make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Give me the power that Jesus has, through the blood that was shed. Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart on fire. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's pure desire. Make me like the Christ of old, oh, healing and raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus has, through the blood that was shed. Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart on fire. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's pure desire. Oh, make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus has, through the blood that was shed. Once more. Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart on fire. Oh, fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's pure desire. Make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Give me the power that Jesus has, the blood that was shed. Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart on fire. Oh, fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's pure desire. Oh, make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Give me the power that Jesus has, through the blood that was shed. Amen. My, my, my. Thank you, Jesus, my God. By His blood are we here today, huh? The rain, He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the Master of the wind. I know the Master of the wind. I know the Maker of the rain. Oh, He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the Master of the wind. I know the Master of the wind. I know the Maker of the rain. Oh, He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the Master of the wave. Once more. Oh, I know the Master of the wave. I know the Maker of the rain. Oh, He can calm the storm, make the sun to shine again. I know the Master of the wind. Oh, I know the Master of the wind. I know the Maker of the rain. Oh, He can calm the storm, make the Lord Jesus.
Our Lord, to your house of worship one more time, help. Lord, knowing, Heavenly Father, that it was you that chose us to come out, Lord. Heavenly Father, it was you that woke us up this morning, Lord, in our right mind, Lord. Heavenly Father, it was you that provided for us all week, Lord, woke us up, Lord, Heavenly Father. And we just want to thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, now, Lord, as we lift this offering, Lord, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we know that you can use it, Lord, Heavenly Father, for the betterment of your kingdom, Lord, to bring in souls, Heavenly Father, for you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, to bless those that give, Lord. Bless the desire to give, Lord. Give back to them 10, 20 times forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I feel the pull. I hear the call. And God's Spirit's moving me to give my all. Come and take control, for I feel the pull. I feel pull. Brother Leroy, I hear the call, and God's me to give my all. He speaks to me and I agree. Lord, please come and take control. For I feel the pull.
church to continue and keep me in prayer. The reason I leave before the service is out, but my leg be hurting so bad, I can't take painkillers. The drive, cause those, they're so strong, a high dose of Percocet, and it will knock you out. In fact, the doctor said that I'm supposed to be driving, but he can't tell me. He said nothing else they could do. So I said, well, if I could take the pain, I'm driving. So that's the reason I leave. So now I realized, the Lord, why this tears so long? And sometimes the flesh, they say, well, Lord, let me out of this thing. But I realized God is trying to develop patience in me. In order for him to do that, he had to set up a situation that caused me to wait. Sometimes it might be a long way, a lengthy way. But not just sickness, finance, anything, deliverance, or a loved one, continue to wait on God. Continue to give him praise. Don't ever stop giving God praise, because this to get out of us what God wants to get. I'm going to attempt to sing this song. I sing it in a book, and I said, Lord, I found it in here. I'm going to try to attempt. I'm not a singer, but I want you to know I have a good time trying. A good time worshiping God. And this song is, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees in your good time. You will answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are faint. Help me my pride, and I'll call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my on thee. Help me to be on this earth what you want me to be. The chorus part one more time. Day that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Day shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Please, be not to rely.
on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you, Brother Jacob.
Shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, Lord, to wait. One more time, they that wait upon the Lord. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Whoa. Mount up with wings as he goes. Yes, they will, they shall run. They shall walk. Whoa, teach me, Lord, to wait. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just ask, has anyone in here ever had to just wait on the Lord? And I tell you what, sometimes waiting on the Lord ain't fun, right? You have a lot of mind battles and a lot of things that go through your head. You're just trying to figure some things out. And you know you're supposed to be trusting him and waiting on him, but you know, you need things to happen right now. You need some things to happen right now. So, and I hear you. Somebody been there. They said, I need it to happen yesterday. And it's today. I needed it yesterday. And you know how the devil come and talk to you when you're in moments like that. You find yourself in between a rock and what they call a hard place. But even there, you got to take courage. Amen. You got to tell yourself, I'm just going to wait. I'm just gonna wait. I don't know how God gonna do it, but I know he gonna do it. I'm just gonna wait. Amen. Let me just give you a quick testimony, and amen. I hope y'all don't mind. We're just gonna worship just a little bit. Amen. Just a little bit. But I had something probably over a year ago. I don't know what it's been, but I was just waiting on the Lord for a little situation there, and you know, we trying to sell a home, and just been waiting, trying to get something done, and had some people working on the transaction for me, and they called me up and say, look, you got two options. We can sell the house. It's going to cost you either $30,000, or it's going to cost you a little less if you just come with cash. I said, okay, how long I got to come with cash? So I just thought, you know, I said, I ain't got it right now. I know I ain't got it, but how long I got? And they told me, and I said, well, okay, we'll see what happened. And, you know, church, I tell you, the amount that they gave me to come in cash, the Lord did something that he's never done before on my job. They all of a sudden, on a government job, amen, gave bonuses. A government job gave bonuses. And that don't happen in government. You don't hear things like that. But they walked in and told us, y'all gonna get bonuses, and next Friday y'all can expect y'all bonus. And well, some of the people start coming into my office and they say, you know, we it's government now. We expect just hundreds. But God gave thousands. You know. And I said, that's the God that I serve, because God knew how much money I needed. I didn't need hundreds. I needed thousands to get rid of this house. You know, but God blessed, and with that bonus, I made half of what I needed, you know, through one bonus. So I'm going to tell you, when you just wait on the Lord, he will make a way out of no way. He'll cause people to do things that you never thought could happen. Amen. God can do that. Don't, whatever you do, don't limit God. Don't put God in your box. Amen. And try to limit him. God will blow your mind if you allow him to. Just encourage somebody. Come on, well, y'all gonna help me out here or what? Come on, everybody ought to be playing by now. Come on now, come on. We gotta get in the spirit of this thing. Come on, tell somebody, wait on the Lord. Come on, encourage them, say, wait on the Lord. All right, come on, sing it with all your heart. If you've been stuck in between the rock and hard place, you might be there right now. But tell yourself, I don't mind. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind on the Lord. Come on. I don't mind. Yeah, yeah. Waiting, I don't mind. Wait on the Lord. Yeah, I don't mind. Hey, I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Yes, I am. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Hey, I don't mind now. Wait on Jesus. I said, wait on Jesus. Hey, I don't mind waiting. Hey, hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. I don't mind waiting. Oh, my. Oh, I don't mind. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Yeah. No, I don't mind waiting. Hallelujah. Come on, sing with all your heart. I don't mind. Hey, I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Yes, I am. Oh, the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't
Wow, that sounds real good. All right, come on. I don't mind saying. Oh, my. I don't mind. On the Lord. Yeah, yeah. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I'm gonna wait right here, Lord. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Yeah, I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Come on and give him praise. They come on and bless his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, sometimes when the songwriters write songs, and you can tell when they write from experience, because they ain't got but just a few words to write. They ain't got no verses. It's just straight course. Amen. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. And that's the way I feel this morning. Whatever God got is going to come. Amen. I ain't got to hurry, God. I ain't got to rush, God. It's going to be there just when I need it. Amen. One songwriter said he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. They also said in that song, say he may not come when you want him, but he's always, always on time. Amen. I give him praise for just being on time. Amen. Come on, clap your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that... Come on, keep playing a little bit now. Just softly. I just want to make some quick announcements. We got Brother Chris Rapp. Amen. God bless you. So good to have you with us today, Brother. Brother Richard brought Brother Chris along with him today. And amen. We're happy to have Brother Chris in service with us. And amen. I see Brother Mike back there. God bless you, Brother Mike Dixon. Amen. Good to have Brother Mike with us. And amen. I see Sister Tyranny here. God bless her. Good to see her. Amen. She came with her husband today. Amen. So good to have her. And Travis, he's not a visitor, but I was reading about you in the paper yesterday. So good job on Friday night. God bless you, Travis. Amen. Travis plays football for Cardinal Newman High School, and he scored a touchdown. Amen. There on Friday night, they won the game. And amen. Just it's good. You look in the paper, you see, hey, I know that person right there. Amen. That's real good. So it's good to see that. And just pray that God will just continue to strengthen him out there. Amen. So praise the Lord. Quick announcements. Don't forget today, those that are going to South Carolina, the money's to do today. We're $80 for the trip. Amen. $80. And then Sisters Fellowship on Saturday, September 25th. Sisters, keep that in mind. And dinner today at 3 o'clock. I know everybody, amen, looking forward to that. Amen. Dinner today at 3 o'clock at our home. Everybody just bring in your Sunday dinner, and we're going to all add our Sunday dinners together, and we're going to have a big eat. Amen. That's what they call it. So, all right, we're looking forward to that at 3 o'clock today. And also, we want to wish Brother Robles a happy birthday coming up this week. Amen. God bless you, Brother Robles. And amen. He'll be celebrating a birthday on Wednesday, and then we got Sister Anna Chana on Thursday. Where's Sister Anna? Shana, okay. God bless you, Sister Anna. She's going to be celebrating a birthday, too, on Thursday. So praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for that. Let's just sing a chorus of this song. Amen. Travis, you meet.
His birthday when?
Yesterday? On Wednesday. Well, God bless you, Brother Travis. Amen. His birthday on Wednesday, too. Amen. That's a blessing. Thank God for allowing us all to see another year of these birthdays. Amen. Let's just sing a chorus of this before we would go into the Word of God. And that's very appropriate for the testimony that I just gave. And I don't want to just keep it all to myself. I know somebody else here going through some things. And amen, you need God to move on your behalf, no matter what it is, whether it's financially, whether it's domestic issues that you might be facing. Amen, whether it's something on the job, you need a job. Amen, God can make a way for you. And if you've been fighting, whatever you've been fighting, we just want to tell you this morning, the struggle is over. Amen, and sometimes you got to speak it before it even happens. You got to call for it. Even though you don't see it, call for it. It'll be there. Amen. The phoenix can't happen until you make it happen. Amen. A phoenix is something that rises out of nothing. When you don't see nothing, speak for it anyway. Amen. Declare it to be so. Amen. The struggle is over. The struggle is over. Come on, let's sing this. Wherever you are, wherever you are, whatever, whatever you've been going through, God said, the struggle is over. The struggle is over for you. Come on, you've been in this place. You've been in this place long enough, mountainside. The struggle is over for you. Come on, let's sing it again with all our heart. Wherever you are, whatever you've been going through, oh, you've been going. God says the struggle is over for you. Come on, I've been in this place. Say, I've been in this place. My mountainside, oh, the struggle . Hallelujah, come on, the struggle is over. The struggle is over. Yes, it is, come on. The struggle is over for you. Say, the struggle is over. Yes, it is, the struggle. Struggle is over. Yeah, the struggle is over for me. Struggle is over. Yes, it is. Come on, listen. That problem is over. Come on, that problem is over. It's all behind me now. For me, the problem. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory. The sickness is over. Come on, say the sickness is over for you. The sickness. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. The trouble.
Place. I've been in this place. my mountainside. The struggle, yes it is, I declare it today. I've been in this place all long enough, my mountainside. The struggle over for me. Somebody praise him. Somebody exalt him this morning. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's over. It's over. It's over. Hallelujah. It's over. It's over. Yeah. It's over. I said it's over. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. The struggle is over. It's 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 over. Oh, the struggle is over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. And the struggle is over for me. Oh, it's over. Say it's over. Over. Feel it. It's over. Yeah, the struggle is over. It's over, it's finished, it's over, it's done, it's over, get over, yeah, the struggle is, I've been in this place, I've been in this place, my mountainside, so glad to know the struggle is over for me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I ask you just one question? Do you have one more praise? Do you have just one more praise? I was thinking, you know, sometimes when you're going through, you got to just talk to yourself. And I was talking to myself this week. I told the devil, I don't care what I'm going through. Amen. At the end of what I'm going through, I still got one more praise. Amen. And I'm going to give God my last praise. Just one more praise. That's all. We're going to get into the word of God. But just one more praise. Come on.
Command my feet to praise the Lord. Everybody,
right, all right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. God, we thank you for this little time to worship. We certainly adore you. We'll praise you with our hands. We'll praise you with our feet. We'll praise you with our mouth. We won't complain, God, and exalt the enemy and the trials and tribulations that we face, but we will exalt your name in the midst of it. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes her boast in the Lord. The humble hear thereof and be glad. He invited us, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. God, I'm a witness. I'm a poor man that cried unto thee, and you set me free. God, I'm grateful, and I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. Father, as we come, Lord, now approaching your word, Lord, it's one thing to shout about it. It's another thing to live it. We ask, oh God, that you would bring the quickening power into our midst, that you would quicken revelation to our hearts even now. And God, let us know what we're shouting about and what we're worshiping for, why we worship in spirit and why we worship in truth. We ask, God, that you reveal yourself to us. And Lord, every heart that's here, I pray that you minister to in only a way that you can. I don't know the issues you do, but I pray that your word, Lord, would bring comfort, bring strength, bring correction, bring direction, bring instruction, bring all that we need today. Bring encouragement, bring uplifting. Father, uplift the hearts of your people as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just give them another hand clap of praise. And I will ask you, oh my, I've had you standing for quite some time. Amen. And just read one scripture with me. I got a couple that I'd like to read, but I'll just have you read one and I'll let you sit down. Just turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll start reading at verse 4 there today. Amen. And we're taking a subject today just titled Believer's Authority. Amen. Believer's Authority. And it's kind of picking up from some of the statements that we made on last week. And I have to be honest with you, this message that we'll bring today, amen, is something that God has for all his people. But as I said last week, there are certain things as a part-time worker you cannot have, certain benefits you can't get. But when you go full-time, they all belong to you. That's in the natural, and same thing it is in the spiritual. When we go full-time with God, then we can expect God to honor his word as he promised. Amen. Here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and the beloved, in whom we have redemption of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12 says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed,
ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Again, our subject today is we're talking about the believer's authority. Amen. The believer's authority. And if we could just get Mark 16, I want to read that. And John 15. Mark 16 and John 15. Those are two other scriptures that I'd like to read here today. Now, Mark 16 and verse 15 says this. And now, just so that you got a little background of the scripture that we're about to read, Jesus has already risen from the dead, and disciples have certainly been impacted by the life of Christ. In Luke 24, some of you all know the story there where they were so discouraged after seeing their Lord and Savior, the one that, man, he did so many great things. He healed so many sick people, delivered people that were bound, people with demonic spirits. You know, they could sit and tell testimony of what God did. Seeing him out on a stormy sea, and when they thought they were about to drown, amen. And in the midst of this, Jesus told them, "Let's go to the other side." As they on their way to the other side, here comes a storm out of nowhere. And Jesus is just sleeping in the midst of the storm. And I'm going to tell you something there. There's a wonderful, amen, revelation that we can get from that. When you know that God has given you something to do, amen, no matter what come against you, amen, it can't stop you. Amen. All right. You might see all kind of wind and waves blowing and trying to detour you from your destination, but if God has ordained you to go to a certain spot, there's nothing can stop you from getting there. And when you have that peace and that calm and that comfort in your heart, then you know what? You can sleep in the midst of your trouble. You can sleep in the midst of your trial. You don't have to worry about it, you know. But here Jesus was sleeping, and they got a little frustrated and flustered and like, "Lord, do you even care that we getting ready to go down on this boat?" And that just brings me to another little something here. I'm going to just inject this real quick. Y'all pray with me this morning. But it was a little testimony I was reading last night, and this testimony was this lady, she was coming from overseas to America, and as they were coming to America, you know, on the ship, the captain says, you know, "We just heard that, you know, if we don't get a miracle in about 30 minutes, this boat getting ready to go down. Amen. This ship getting ready to sink if we don't get a miracle." So he said the band was playing some rock and roll music. All right. And the captain, when he noticed that it was a matter of life or death, he told the band, "Change the music." Now, let me tell you, that's the same thing they did when the Titanic was getting ready to go down. Amen. And see, you need to understand some things. Your life is represented. Amen. In things like this. And if some of us don't get right with God now, we don't know where we're going to be tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next week. See, if we don't get right, our life is like the Titanic. Sometimes it seems unsinkable. But God can bring some things into your life that will break you down. See? And so during the Titanic, when that was getting ready to go down, they stopped dancing. They stopped singing. They stopped boogie-woogieing and all that, and they changed the music. See? And that's what happened to Titanic. The same thing happened with this lady. The captain said, "Change the music. Play 'Nearer My God to Thee.'" Because you had to understand, music brings an atmosphere. Amen. I'm talking believer's authority, but I'm just injecting some of these free things for y'all. But music creates an atmosphere. The wrong kind of music can cause you to get so depressed, you'll think about taking your life. The wrong music can cause you to think about taking somebody else's life. The right music can make you worship God when you're going through a great storm, a great trial.
The right music will keep you encouraged and keep you uplifted, amen, when everything is coming against you. Music creates atmosphere, so they had to change the music. They changed the music right there and said, play Near My God to Thee. Get me an old hymn. Go pull that out and get me an old hymn. Play Near My God to Thee. So this old saint, she was on the boat, you know, and she heard him say, about 30 minutes, we're going to get a miracle. This thing going to go down. She said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And everybody started looking at her like she was crazy. And the captain said, ma'am, you run around here talking about hallelujah, praise the Lord. You need to be praying to your God. You know, you need to be praying that this ship don't go down. Because did you hear me? I say, if in 30 minutes we don't get a miracle, we going down. We're going to be in the bottom of the sea. That's what he said. Yeah, I heard. He said, but praise God anyway. Amen. And he said, how can you praise God at a time like this? He said, well, ma'am. How can you praise God at a time like this? She say, sir, you know, I got a daughter waiting on me in America. And in 30 minutes, if I can just make it to America, then I'm going to see my daughter. All right. But also, sir, I got another daughter waiting for me in glory. So if this ship don't make it, either way, I'm going to see one of my daughters. So hallelujah. That's the way you got to be with the devil. It don't matter what he throw your way. I still got to praise. Either way, God going to get praised. Either way, I'm going to come out a winner. It don't matter either way. The Bible say all things work together for good. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. But I just dropped that in, you know. But Jesus was on the way there to go deliver a man from a demon spirit. He was locked in, he was actually living in a graveyard. But Jesus didn't tell the disciples that. He just said, let's go to the other side. And as they were going, the ship got tossed and driven and things of that nature. And that's the way life is. We're tossed and driven with life. But as they were moving, you know, going to the other side, this storm come out of nowhere. And as it's come, the disciples say, do you even care that we perish? I mean, how can you sleep at a time like this? How can you not say nothing? I done seen you work so many miracles, and you going to go to sleep? Nah. Say, come on now, Jesus. I mean, come on now, Jesus. I know you told us to have faith, but you see this storm now. You ain't never seen nothing like this, Jesus. What you going to do now? Jesus, just wake up. Do you even care that we perish? Fellas, I told y'all, let's go to the other side. I ain't say nothing about the storm. I ain't worried about how you're going to get from point A to point B. You just need to get to point B. See, I'm not worried about your storm. He said, I told you to go to the other side. And before you know, he woke up and shook the sleepiness and the tiredness off and stood out on the edge of the boat and said, peace be still. Oh, God, he speaks that into your life today. Amen. Whatever you're going through, peace be still. Hallelujah. And there he speaks to the storm and say, peace be still, and go turn around and go back to sleep. Now keep on, let's go to the other side. See, and so they seen Jesus do all these great things and so many testimonies that they could share. But church, this morning I want to just kind of tell you, amen, the purpose of us being Christians, or if we can say disciples for today, amen, the purpose is not for us just to come and sit on a nice chair. Amen. Or go to the church on the top of the hill and amen, say that we're members of the church. That's not God. God not looking for membership. See, the golf club looking for membership. Costco looking for membership. Sam's, they want membership. But God want relationship. See, not membership, relationship. You see, and the thing about that, oftentimes we get this kind of mixed up, and we misunderstand our purpose for being here. We misunderstand why Jesus went to Calvary. We misunderstand these things because, you know, the purpose of him going to Calvary is to restore some things back to the believers. Things that were lost in the Garden of Eden. Adam had control over certain things. You know, when Adam was in the garden, they didn't have to worry about hurricanes. They didn't have to worry about tsunamis. They didn't have to worry about some of the stuff they didn't have to worry about funerals. They didn't have to worry about going to the hospital. They didn't have to worry about nobody getting sick. They didn't have to worry about any of that until somebody partook of a fruit on a tree. And I won't say to somebody, let me just break it down. Because Eve, God didn't do nothing when Eve fell. God only came down when Adam fell. All right. When she introduced that to Adam, that's when God had to come and see about his children. But see, the thing of it is, and we can go into that. I don't want to get too deep in that. But sisters, y'all be careful, because you can get your husband in a world of trouble with God. You can get your husband in trouble with God. Because notice how God came down. He didn't say, Eve, Eve, where are you? Read your Bible. Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam, soon as Adam reported for duty, well, Lord, you know, this woman you gave me, trying to pass the buck. No, it ain't her fault, brother. It's your fault. You allowed too much stuff to go on for too long. And now you can't get control over it. Somebody going to preach with me today? But see, you got to speak some peace to your storm. This is the believer's authority we're talking about. But they had this at the beginning. They had authority. Adam could say, tree, move over there. River, run here. Adam named all the animals. Adam had dominion. Adam had control. Adam had everything under his power. He was God of this earth. God was God in the universe, but Adam was God, an amateur God of the earth. But when sin came in, when they got to the spot where they, and we talked about that last week, and if y'all need me, I can repeat it again. I want to ask y'all a question, because some of y'all weren't here last week to hear. I'm going to ask you a question. If, like some people say, they ate an apple or an apricot, whatever you want to call it, a peach, a pear, banana, any type of natural fruit, if Adam and Eve ate a natural fruit in the garden, and recognize that they was naked, why can't people eat the same fruit today and get the same revelation? Why can't they get the same revelation? If it was an apple, and I'm using the word if because I know it wasn't no apple. It ain't no way it's going to be an apple to tell you I'm naked. Not only I'm naked, but I'm pregnant. What apple people eat today that allow them to get pregnant? You showed me that apple. Show me that apricot. Show me that plum. Show me that. Just show me that fruit that allow a woman to realize she's pregnant after she eat it. I only know of one way people get pregnant. And if that's the way they get pregnant today, guess what? That's the way they got pregnant in the beginning. It don't change. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to leave that right there. But now y'all got it. And I was talking way up here because, you know, sometimes, like I said, you got kids in the room. You adults have to talk adult language. And hopefully the adults can understand what I'm saying. Pray. I'm talking about believers' authority. But before all that occurred, Adam had dominion. Not only Adam, Eve had dominion too in the garden. She was co-equal with Adam. But after sin came in, that's when God made that man the ruler, the head. But before that, they were co-equal. See, they were co-equal. Whatever Eve said could happen, whatever Adam said could happen, they were co-equal like that in the garden. See? Amen. But when sin came in, because she was the first one, she actually got tricked by Satan. Adam willfully did what he did, but Eve got tricked by the devil. Oh, my, that's another one right there for him, too, boy. That's another one. You say it's the Satan? Yeah, I said the devil was in the garden. And the devil, I'm going to just break it down. Satan anointed the serpent. Amen. Satan anointed the serpent. He actually came into the serpent, amen, and caused this great thing to happen. Satan did that. The serpent, that's why they can't find the missing link. I might as well, I'm out here now, so let me just tell it. They looking for a missing link between man and chimpanzee. The missing link is the serpent. And the reason being that they can't find it today is because he was cursed and put on his belly, so his makeup is not the same as it was at the beginning. Amen. At the beginning, the serpent stood on 2 feet. Right. He had to stand on feet. That's why God could curse him and tell him to go on his belly. Yes, right. See, he stood on 2 feet. That's the missing link, but they'll never receive it by revelation. That's what caused the fall. Now, I say Satan anointed this animal, this beast, to do what he did. They say the devil anointed him? Yes. Yes. Because the same story I was just telling y'all about Jesus going over and he spoke peace to the storm. He went to deliver a man that was a maniac.
He had legions of demons. And when them devils was coming out that man, you know what they asked Jesus? Can we go into the swine? The devils anointed the pigs. The Bible says it. Now, the devil anointed those pigs, and you know what them pigs did? They stopped grazing and went and jumped right off a cliff. Church, if you ever get anointed by the devil, he'll drive you to do some stuff that you never thought you would do. But let me tell you something. You get anointed by God. God can lift you up into a level that you never thought that you could go. I'm talking about the believer's authority. But they lost this at the beginning. They lost their position of power, this position of control, this position of why God placed man here in the first place. Adam lost that at the beginning. Eve lost that at the beginning. So when Jesus came and died, his death was to restore that back. Now let's read some scripture just to prove that. Amen. His death was to restore that back. That's what we strive for. When I'm coming to church, I'm not coming just to be coming. Amen. I'm looking to get back in this place that I'm supposed to be with God. Hallelujah. All right, let's read scripture and prove these things. Jesus said it. Turn Mark 16 is where we left off. Verse 15. Amen. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples after he's getting ready to leave. He already rose from the dead, and he's having fellowship with them. Amen. Now he's getting ready to leave, and he gives them a commission here. Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now let me stop there and talk about gospel. Preaching the gospel is not just me up here reading some scripture to you. That's not just preaching the gospel. Amen. But Paul said he come in demonstration of the power, you know, of the Spirit. So when I'm preaching the gospel, I'm actually expecting people to get delivered. I'm expecting people to be set free. I expect if you come to church with a problem, I expect God to fix it. That's what I'm talking about. You go to the hospital when you're sick, you expect them to give you something to make you well. Amen. When you're spiritually sick, I expect God to give you something to make you well. Amen. And many of us know, Lord, I need you in this way. I need you in that way. I need you. Everybody here need God in some way. And I expect God to meet you here. Amen. I don't like seeing people come to church bound and go back home the same way. Amen. I want to see their spirits lifted up. I want to see revelation strike them where they begin to realize who they are. That's my purpose for coming to church. Listen, preaching, amen, go to the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall cast out devils. And this Jesus told his disciples, I believe that, amen, still applies today. Boy, I tell you what, you get one person here, I don't care what their condition is. Ain't no case too hard for God. No case. I mean, no sickness too hard for God. Cancer, we're going to pray over cancer. Tuberculosis, we're going to pray over tuberculosis. HIV, we're going to pray. And not only pray, but expect that when God say these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. You know, every sickness ain't nothing but a demon attacking the people. A demon actually putting the people in torment like that. So if we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, why can't we expect results? I'm expecting results, church. Every time I pray in his name. All right, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, y'all get me right about that laying hands. I don't believe this thing where they beat people up, you know, pass them through the prayer line and punch them in the stomach and all kind of stuff like that. That's not the laying hands I think the scripture's talking about. You know, the only reason people say they heal is because they don't want to get hit again. they come up and they lay hands and they about to push you down. You know, I'm not talking about that. That's, I call that foolishness. I'm just straight. I'm being honest with you. I call that foolishness. And people go, yeah, I'm healed. I'm healed. The reason they don't want to be embarrassed like that again. That's why they say they heal. But when they leave that, oh, my, pain all over their body. I'm talking about when, you know, it's like when you got a horse that's in trouble and you need him to calm down. Don't run. Don't take off and run on me. Calm down, boy. Calm down, boy. Calm down, boy. Calm down. You just begin to rub him a little bit. You just begin to pat him a little bit. This is the way God do you when you're in trouble sometime. You know, God is a good God. Even when you make mistakes, God got a way of just picking you up. And I like the way Brother Brandon put it. He said when a baby trying to walk, you know, mom and dad ain't so upset. Why you fall down, baby, and start spanking the baby? No, they just pick them up and they just hold their hands a little bit. And let me show you how to do it. Just put one foot in front of the other and just do like this. And, you know, and eventually you're going to get strength in them limbs and you're going to be able to hold yourself up. And if you can't hold yourself up now, then just grab on to something and just walk a little bit like this and just walk a little bit like that till you get the hang of this thing. That's the way God do it spiritually. Sometimes you may fall a little bit and you may get in trouble, but God will just pick you up and just do it like this and do it like that. Only time you're going to get in trouble with God is when you know better and you know you shouldn't have did it. When you come on to church and get your whipping and go on back home. Amen. Don't be afraid of your spanking now. Everybody get a gospel spanking every now and then. It's all right. It's show that God loves us. Amen. He cares for us. My God, I don't even know where I was. Y'all just took my thought. Amen. Huh? Where was it? Huh? On the scripture? Okay. Laying hands. Thank you. And they get the horse and they just rub that horse. Say, calm down, boy. Calm down. Calm down. And as they're rubbing them, you know, they got to speak gently to him because he's already a little nervous. And as you're just rubbing him and you're getting him calm and you get him just settled down just a little bit, and before you know it, now you can tend to him because he's relaxed. And so when you're praying for somebody, you got to be able to first enter into their infirmity. You got to feel what they feel. You got to be able to identify with their struggle. See, I mean, a person, well, I'm struggling with this. Oh, my, you know, all I can say is that, man, I know I wouldn't want to be bound like that. I wouldn't want to be sick like that. I wouldn't want to have to take them pills, and I wouldn't want to have to do this. Man, let's pray. And then when you pray like that, I mean, you entered into that person's infirmity, and now you can really pray with feeling. Not you know, pray for me. Okay, I pray for you. You be done forgot. That's why when somebody tell me to pray, I start praying right then, because I know the devil take that from me later on. I had good intentions of doing it. See. But here's the thing, church. When we lay hands on the sick, it's the way that we just do this. Just we enter into their infirmity, and then we see God work the results at that time. Let's read another scripture here. Praise the Lord. John 15. Amen. John 15. My God. This is a continuation. The ministry of Jesus, amen, was not to stop after Jesus left. It was to be continued on in the disciples. And not just in the disciples of that day. I think this pertains even to our day. We call ourselves Christians, Christ-like. Then we should see God moving and demonstration and power of his spirit as he did in Bible days. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 15 says this, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And I think this is true of the church. If we don't bear the fruit that Christ told us to bear, then we're going to have to answer to God. See, we're going to have to answer to God. We got to get back to seeing God move in the power of his resurrection. We got to see that, church. I'm going to tell you something. Church, back when the Pentecostal movement just first broke out, I mean, the power of God was so real in the lives of the people. People would come and just be changed just like that. And when I talk about change, I'm talking about your desires. All right? It's your desire. Because if you have a desire to do something wrong, you're going to find a way to do something wrong. If you have a desire to do something right, you're going to find a way to do something right. But see, what needs to change is your desire. You got to stop desiring that. See, amen, if a man desire water, he going to keep doing all he can to get to water. See, you desire that. I thirst for that. I long for that. I want that. You're going to find a way to get it. But when God changes your desires, oh, my everything. I mean, you become a new creature in Christ. When your desire changes. Back in the Old Testament, they used to bring their animals and they sacrifice them to God. But, you know, and they'd be giving their sin offering and all that. But they go out after giving the sin offering, they go out with the same desire to keep doing what they were doing before. But see, when Jesus came and died, his blood was to remove the desire from us. Change our desires. I want that to register in your spirit. Your desire has to change. And you know what? It starts just by going to church. God just start right there. And before you know it, you taking one step and then God take the next step. You take another step. God take the next step. Before you know it, you done made it so far you don't even know how you got there. The things you used to do, you don't do no more. Listen, a lot of times people want these overnight changes. God don't work that way all the time. You know what the Bible say? Bible say, lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets you. You know what that means? That means there's some stuff that you got to give up. God ain't going to take it from you. You're going to have to give it up. Just like he gave his life at the cross, you're going to have to give up some stuff. God, I give this to you. I'm just laying it down. Hallelujah. I'm giving it. And Lord, as I lay it down, God, take the desire from me. That when I turn and I walk away from it, I won't be like Lot's wife. My desire won't be to go back into Sodom and Gomorrah. My desire be able to go forward in God. Lord, change my desire. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, that's a good lesson to learn. Even when you start serving God with everything that you got in you, things go wrong. Things happen. Things that you don't like still happen. But even in the midst of that, you got to understand it's just a pruning where God is cutting back some things in your life. Now, you know why a man would prune or cut a tree? It's so that it can grow thicker. It can actually get stronger. That's why he cuts it back. So when God is cutting some things in your life, it's so that you can become stronger as a Christian. Not weaker. God is trying to make you stronger, but you have to go through the process of cutting. Oh, hallelujah. All right, listen. Amen. He taketh away in every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I love this. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Now you know that ain't nothing but truth. If you get a branch, amen, no matter what kind of, amen, it may produce the most beautiful mangoes you ever seen, but you cut that branch from the tree and you put it off to the side, see if it'll bear anything more. That's why you got to keep going to church. You got to stay connected. Hallelujah. You can't, no matter what happens, stay connected. Man, you don't know what I went through yesterday. Stay connected. You don't know how I feel today. Stay connected. Don't worry about all of that. Because even if you ever seen like a dead limb, I don't watch it look like, oh my, we might as well go ahead and cut that one off. It ain't going to bear nothing else. I done seen them come back. Green just start coming all over them again. Amen. That's the way God will do you sometimes. Amen. You just come back. And you begin to bear fruit all over again. But you had to go through the process. This time it's going to be stronger. Oh, my. I feel like Marvin Sapp says, I'm stronger. I'm better, so much better. When I look back over all he's brought me through, I realize it was you I held on to and I never could have made it. That little branch never going to make it without the vine. You ain't going to make it without Jesus. All right, hallelujah. Listen, says, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except ye abide in me. Now listen, what I'm talking about, the believer's authority, this is not going to happen being a part-time Christian. You got to abide in God. You got to remain in God. You got to stay there. Yeah, so my kids be laughing at me when I say this, but see, this was an old song they used to sing. I'm wrapped up. I'm tied up. I'm tangled up in Jesus. Yeah, if y'all ever been fishing, you know what it means to have your lines tangled up. And that's not a real good feeling when you got your lines and everybody else pulling in fishing. You trying to work out the knots. See, you trying to work out all the knots. You cutting everything and trying to get yourself back in shape to fish again. But when it comes to, amen, serving the Lord, I want to be tangled up. I mean, I want the devil to try to work through the knots to get me out. Satan, you're going to have to work through a whole bunch of knots because I'm knotted up, tied up, tangled up. I'm all up in Jesus. Man, you're going to have to work to get me. That's the way I want it to. You got to work to get me, Satan. It ain't going to be that easy because I'm tied up in him. That's the way I want to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You ain't going to be just able to send any kind of trial my way. And here I'm gone. Oh, boy. Yeah, I heard the preaching yesterday, but today, whoo, ain't going to be that way with me. I'm going to be tied up in this thing. I'm invested in this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, says I am the vine. Verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Amen. Listen, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You ain't good for nothing but a good fire when you disconnect it. And I'm going to tell you something. When you disconnect it from the Lord, there's a fire that Satan want to bring you to. Amen. There's a fire. But now listen, you can also, I mean, because the fire, you know, you got this one fire that will annihilate, but you got another fire that attract your attention. See, because Moses saw a bush on fire, and it just attracted his attention. Amen. That's the kind of fire that I want. It's what we call a controlled fire. Amen. The fire of God, I want that dwelling on the inside of me. Amen. When you hear somebody say, you're still on fire? Yes, I'm still on fire. Yeah, I'm still serving the Lord with everything I got. Amen. I'm still on fire. God purging me every day, purifying me, taking everything out of me that's not like him. I'm still on fire. Amen. Hallelujah. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And I love that part. Abide in me. My words abide in you. That means when you're going through, the first thing ought to come out of your mouth is thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Quoting the scripture, let the word of God abide. Amen. When something's abide, it remains. It stays there. Amen. It's not going to be moved. No matter what happens, it won't be moved. That's what God is calling for in the South. These things, when I talk about the believer's authority, and I haven't even gotten to all of it yet, but when I start talking that, church, this not for everybody. When I read Ephesians, that's not for everybody. That's not just for people that want to be church members. That's for people that want relationship with God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right. One more scripture. I think it was John 12. John 12. Let me just make sure I got the right thing. Oh, God. John 14, I'm sorry. John 14, 12. Amen. There's so much more, amen, that we could read, and I'll just give you a few today. But my purpose here is just trying to show you that God has called us to something greater than just being I use Travis for an example because he played football, and I used to be a football player, and I didn't want to just get dressed in my uniform just to run out and get the tee after they done kicked off. All y'all football players know what I'm talking about. Or or you the guy with the water bottles. You all dressed up in uniform, but you carrying water bottles. You might as well sit in the stands. Right. You're a spectator. You're not a participator. See, and I that was one job you didn't want. I mean, coach, you want me to go get the tea? That's all he would do. He'd run out there with his helmet on, go grab the tea and bring it back to sideline. He'd never get dirty. And sometimes he'd trip and fall, by just to get maybe a knee pad dirty to make it seem like he had played in the game. But you just didn't want to be like that. Don't be like that with God. You want to be in on the action. Amen. Sometimes you're going to get hit. But you know what? Sometimes I'm going to do some hitting too. Amen. But, you know, we want to be participators in what God is trying to do in this hour, not just spectators, not standing back looking at what's going on. We want to be a part of what's going on. John 14, starting at verse 12. Listen, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. See, this is Jesus speaking this. All right. Jesus telling him, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. Now, this is a very important scripture. Because Jesus kind of letting the disciples know, look, y'all done seen me do a lot of works. Y'all done seen me heal the sick and raise the dead and do all these things. Now, I'm leaving that in your control now. I'm passing the baton. I come to show you what man is supposed to walk in, but I'm passing this baton on to you now. Amen. This is for the believers, not for just anybody. This is only for the believers. I'm giving you this authority. I'm giving you this, amen, this power. Now, let's talk about authority. Just give me a few minutes of your time. Let's talk about authority. Authority, amen, is represented. Brother Branham brings out the point of the policeman. And if you all ever watch the policeman at work, and we driving back from Orlando yesterday, I tell you what, all he got to do is just put his car on the side of the road or in the middle of the road somewhere, and all the brakes go to just... He ain't even got to get out. Just park the car. And just by seeing the car, everybody just go to break it. That's the way you want the devil to be. Because of your authority as a believer, you want the devil to put on brakes. Yeah, when I walk into the room, change the channel. When I come in, change the music. Because I'm a believer. That's my authority as a believer. Yeah, I want the whole atmosphere to change when I'm around. That's what happened on the highway. The whole atmosphere changed. Boy, they're getting out. You see them coming at 100 miles an hour, coming right by you, but all of a sudden, red lights. Seem like it's a traffic jam. Everybody trying to stop. Because of the authority of the police.
That's right, brother.
Oh God, this is who we are as Christians. This is our authority when it comes to the devil. Here, you know that policeman, and it might be everybody. You know, maybe some people didn't. Maybe he didn't have his car parked there. Whatever going on. But you let him one time get out of his car, amen, to try to stop traffic. And maybe they don't see the car part, but all of a sudden they see somebody standing out there. Now, the policeman, he don't have power to stand in front of a moving car. He's not Superman, and only believe in Superman. He don't exist either. You know, I'm going to tell you something. See, they take stuff like that because that's the way Christians are supposed to be operating. Christians are supposed to have that kind of power. But we don't, not no kryptonite, it's sin that stop us from getting this. Sin stop us from this. That was Superman problem, kryptonite, but our kryptonite is sin. S-I-N, that's what stopped it in the beginning, amen, in the Garden of Eden. That's still stopping it today. Sin. But see, when we repent, God forgives us and God can restore us. Like I say, that branch can be restored. But here, you know, that policeman still, maybe don't nobody see the car and they still passing through the, running through that intersection. That policeman, he ain't got power to stop that 18-wheeler. He ain't got no power. Man, he tried to stand in front of an 18-wheeler if he want to like this. He'll get run right over. But it's all one thing the man need to do. This all he got to do. And when his hand go up, the brakes stop. And what the thing is, now if he walked out there in natural clothes like me and did this, that wouldn't work. But when he wrap himself in the uniform and he put his badge on, everything changed then. And I could have been having a barbecue with the policeman at my house, and I could know that he's a policeman, but I ain't got to pay no attention to him when he ain't got that uniform on. But when he put the uniform on, I better be listening to everything he say, because he's not standing for himself. He's standing for what the government got to say. Church, that's what it is. As a believer, we have authority that when we're wearing the badge of believer, when we wrap ourselves in the garment of the Word of God, when we got God just having complete control over our life, we wrap ourselves in His promised Word, then we can stand there with our hands up. Devil, you got to stop right there. That's it, Satan. You ain't going no further. And let me tell you something. Police, when he do that, man, he's not going to even argue with you. Y'all done seen it. The fella come, you let somebody go right past him. That's not even, you're not just, I'll meet you in court. You ain't even got a chance in court. Because everybody's standing behind that policeman. Guess what? All heaven is standing behind you as a believer. So that, you know, when you ain't got nothing else, just like we talked about last week, give God a yet praise. God, I still praise you. Right there, them hands go up, the devil, that just confused the enemy. The devil's stopping his track with your yet praise. Stop right in his track. I can't go no further than that. Oh, my, because you ain't cursing God, you're blessing God in the midst of what you're going through. A few years ago, we're going to read another scripture here, and I'm going to let you go in a little bit. Let me see here. Oh, no, hold on. Let me drop something off. Lord, let me. Y'all just remember that thought when I said a few years ago. Okay, I got to come back to that thought. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. When we talk about the believer's authority, now, the other thing that I want you to understand is this is controlled by motive and objective. Brother Branham made this comment in the message, God doesn't call a man to judgment without first warning him. Says when you plead anything to God, it's got to be a reason for it. It's just like this, the scripture that I so often refer to. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Mark 11:23. You can have what you say. But he says this, now that's altogether control on motive and objective. See, or it won't happen. Now that's very important, because with this kind of authority, a believer's having this type of authority, you can, whatever you say out of your mouth, God will honor it. That's powerful. If you want to, your enemy, if you just didn't, you went to work, your boss may be your enemy, and you just didn't want to deal with your boss that day. Lord, let my boss be gone. You be done, let that fly out your mouth. All right. You got to be careful, you know what I'm saying? That's still a human being, right? You got to still love him. Let him be gone. You curse those that you don't like. You'll build a planet all to yourself for only the people that you like. But you know what? You need the good and the bad. Because the bad is what make you better.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You need some good and bad stuff to happen in your life. The bad gonna make you better. But, you know, so God has the, you just can't have this without having his character. Without having the character of God in you, you'll never see this type of power what I'm talking about. But I believe there's going to be people on the earth walking with this, because Jesus said it's supposed to happen. These signs shall follow them that believe. We read that. That's a promise, and I believe it's for this day. It's controlled by a motive and objective. And Brother Branham gave a story, and there were some brothers one time that, man, Brother Branham, God, as a prophet, God just allowed him to see so much. whether it was healing, amen, somebody sick, what caused the sickness. A prophet could do that. Read in the Bible. You see, prophets could do a lot of things. They had tremendous ministries. One time, a prophet in the Bible, they was fighting a battle, and God told a prophet what they was planning in the camp. And he went and told them, now, y'all do this, y'all do that, because this is what they plan to do. Man said, do we got a spy down there or something? No, ain't no spy. God is telling him what's going on in your bed chambers. God telling the prophet what's going on. This is what a prophetic gift can do. That anointing. I don't even want to call it a gift. It's an anointing that God sends to the earth. Brother Branham had that anointing on him. God gave it to him. He didn't ask God for it. He was just born with it. That's just the way. That's what God chose to do it that way. See? So now here's he had some brothers that he was fellowshipping with. And, you know, God had showed him in a vision. He said, now, in Kentucky, there's some oil. There's some oil in Kentucky. The people was drilling back then trying to find oil. And he said, some Kentucky, it's some oil. He said, God showed him, it's a crack in the earth. And in that crack, oil just running all through it. That's like the mainstream. Everything else that y'all find, and say, them just little pools that's running from the mainstream. But it's a mainstream of oil in Kentucky. Y'all start drilling. Brother said, well, where at in Kentucky? He said, God ain't going to tell me that now. He just says there. Now, you got to have faith in what I said and start drilling. Well, since God ain't told me exactly where to go, then I just ain't going to do nothing. Sometimes that's the way we get sometimes. But this man got, you know, he got a little relaxed. And first he starts saying, well, if we find that oil, we're going to give it to the Lord. We're going to bless the church. We're going to do. How many of us said that? Lord, if I win this lawsuit, God, I'm going to bless the church. And I'm a blessed so-and-so, and I'm a blessed so-and-so. God done gave you $100. You ain't blessed nobody with that $100. How he going to give you $1 million? That $100 you kept in your pocket. You couldn't even take 10 of that and give it to God. And you asking for millions. See, God challenged you with hundreds first. See, like I told y'all about that bonus they gave me. You know what I did? The first thing I did when I got my bonus, I wrote a tithe check. 10% go to God. Amen. That's the way God bless you with a job. Give 10% of that, what you earn, back to God. Amen. Lord, I'm going to give you 10% of what I earn because you gave me the job. I'm giving it back to you. That's the way this thing works, and that's how you keep the blessings flowing. All right. Stay with me now. Amen. So this man, you know, what he did, he had he told him about the oil and everything. Say, there's some oil in Kentucky. Say, y'all, now God says that I see it underneath the earth. There's a lot of it flowing down there. He said, well, I don't know where it's at. I'm just getting a little discouraged. You need to tell me exactly where this oil is. Exactly. Well, I ain't telling you that because God ain't told me that. But you need to just keep drilling. Have faith in what I said. Keep drilling. Well, he got a little discouraged and he stopped drilling. And then they got to the point where we're going to give it to God. Next thing they say, well, we're going to split it up. And you're going to get this much, and you're going to get that much, and you're going to get that much. And because they whole motive changed, they objective changed, when they found what they was going to do with the oil, when they found it, because that motive and objective changed, God didn't allow them to get to it. You know what? They got within 100 feet drilling down. 100 feet of where the oil was, and they got a little bit. But all of a sudden, another company came from out of nowhere, 100 feet away from and drilled, got right into the mainstream. Their motive and objective was wrong. That's why God could not bless them. If your motive and objective is wrong with the blessings of God, no matter what it is, whether it's money, whether it's a job, whether it's getting back to this the authority of the believer, where you can speak to cancer and things like this, you lay hands on the sick and they recover. When it's coming back to, if your motive and objective is wrong, God can't give it to you. Listen, I know we go and we pray for everybody in the hospital, but God didn't promise to heal everybody in the hospital. When Jesus prayed for the man at the pool where the angel would trouble the water, Jesus went and talked to one man. There was thousands of them sitting there. Jesus went to one. See, this is controlled by God. Some people sick because they have done some things to cause that. And you can't bless what God has cursed. You can't do that. You can't go and bless what God has cursed. That's why you got to be led of the Spirit with all this. You can't get this without character. talking believer's authority. Without the character of God, you cannot have this. It's just a pipe dream to you. But somebody's going to walk in it. I believe it. A few years ago, I was, and I want to just kind of take time and share this with you. I had a dream, not Martin Luther King. I'm not Martin Luther King. But God do give us dreams sometimes. And God sometimes through the dreams, he sends warnings. And a few years ago, I had this dream, I didn't write it down. When God gives you something spiritual, always write it down, church, because you don't know why God giving you to it. But I had it, and this is a good thing. I want to just kind of share with you. Sometime when God gives you something that's just for you, it's not for everybody else, right? It's just for you. But I had this dream, and most time, if I have a dream, if I can't place it back in the Word, I ain't gonna say nothing. I ain't gonna say nothing. So I had it, and in the dream, what I saw. It's like I saw Jesus and I saw John in a dream, and it seemed like Jesus was giving John the opportunity to exercise his authority over the devil. That's what I was seeing. Jesus giving John, it's like Jesus could have took care of this himself, but he gave John, his disciple, the opportunity to exercise his authority on the devil. And I say, nah, Lord, that sounds good, but I need some scripture to support that. So I just wrote it down on a little sheet of paper, and I just put it there. I actually dated it. April 18th, 2007. I just put it down like that. And I'm like, well, what do you mean Jesus giving John the opportunity to exercise his authority over the devil? I'm not sure if I see that just yet. All of a sudden, somebody began to preach, and they made a comment, and I want to try to bring this quote up if I can. This is out of the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and it was the year 1955, May 1st, 1955. The faith that was once delivered to the saints, paragraph 39. Amen. We'll bring this up, but you know, this a brother began to preach and he was saying something, and I say, man, that right there go right back to that dream I had. Now I can say what I need to say in regards to that dream. God has proved it in His Word, and we're gonna turn over to Acts chapter 3, and we're gonna prove that too. But let's read this quote, amen. As we get ready for this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the believer's authority. Glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 All right. This quote says this. Amen. This is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. 1955, paragraph 39 says, there laid the man at the gate called Beautiful, where Jesus, y'all can read with me, had passed in and out many times. Look at this. Jesus had passed in and out many times, still laying there lame from his mother's womb. So when we really look at this, and we're going to read in the scripture, Jesus sees this man at the gate called Beautiful and just walk right past him, then do nothing for him. And I told you in my dream, I saw Jesus giving John, amen, the opportunity to exercise his authority over the devil. There laid the man at the gate called Beautiful, where Jesus had passed in and out many times, still laying there lame from his mother's womb, and Jesus had passed through this gate many times, you understand. Then after his going away, we see what kind of ministry he had. Now, after he goes away, he commissioned the church. We read that in Mark 15, Mark 16. This is going to shock, so get ready. He commissioned the church to carry the same gospel to the end of the world. Listen, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out evil spirits, speak with new tongues. If they shall take up a serpent or drink a deadly thing, it cannot harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, showing in a few words what signs was to follow the believer. And those signs followed all through the apostolic age. Amen. I don't believe they stopped there. I believe they're still going today. Let's read in the scripture now here in Acts chapter 3. Jesus passed by this man time and time again. Walked right by him. Hallelujah. Listen. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Now Peter and John I told you, in my dream, I saw Jesus standing with John, and it looked like Jesus could have took care of the situation. But he allowed John to take care of the situation. See, it's the same thing it was in the beginning in Eden. God let Adam take care of the situation. See, God wants you to take care of some situations. You know, God told Moses, amen, you speak and you bring the people to this mountain. You do whatever you need to do to get the people to the mountain. Don't just get the people to the mountain so they can worship me. Moses got into a little trouble. He said, oh, Lord, what should I do? Say, Moses, I told you, just take them to the mountain. Don't ask me what to do. What, and God spoke back to Moses. He said, why are you crying unto me? Speak and move forward. That's what God told Moses. You speak and you move forward. I love that. That's not saying speak and, okay, let me see what's going to happen. Then I'm going to move out. No, speak and just keep walking. That's what a believer's supposed to do. Whether it happened right then or not, soon as you speak, you just release something to happen. Amen. That's like God when he say, let there be light. God just said it. That, let there be light. Turn and start working on something else. Right. He knew light was coming because why? He said it. All right. Just because he said it, it had to happen. Yeah. Oh, God, this is powerful. This is a believer's authority. Listen, here in Acts 3, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. And I thank God for prophetic insight because the prophet just told us that Jesus passed through the same gate daily. Jesus passing through. I mean, you don't know how many times Jesus passed by and never said anything to this man. Waiting till when he left the scene, I'm going to leave him for Peter and John. All right. Hallelujah. So you know what? Sometimes, let me just say it like this. Sometimes you waiting on God to do something. Could it be that God is actually waiting on you to do something? I'm talking about when you find yourself between the rock and the hard place. Lord, I'm just waiting on you. Could it be God waiting on you? Is it possible that God just waiting? I'm going to see what you're going to do about it. You say you're a believer, right? Well, go ahead and do what I told you to do. Right. Don't be crying unto me. Just do something about it. Glory. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. What he was doing, he was there begging. See, they're begging. Who's seeing Peter and John? Now, everybody that beg ain't in need. That's why I don't roll my window down, everybody. Amen. Some of them people get more money than you get from the government. But, you know, sometimes God, I mean, you pass by somebody and they be genuine. Let me just help this person out. You know, and you don't know when you're sowing a seed like that, you don't know what you're doing for that person. But here this man was actually begging. We see this. I mean, we see this on a daily basis. And now, actually, with the economy being the way it is, you don't know who can lose their house and end up in a state of begging. You don't know who could end up. You don't know where people end up. You just don't know. See, so that's why, I mean, you need, and if you find yourself in trouble like that, you need to know where to go to get help. I'm talking about spiritual help. I'm going to tell you. There's government programs ain't for everybody, ain't gonna work for everybody. You got to qualify for a lot of that. And if you ain't qualified but you still don't have, what you gonna do? Huh? I mean, when they tell you don't qualify, you can't get a job, what you gonna do? You're gonna have to be able to walk in the authority of a believer. Hallelujah. Listen. Verse 3, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, can you imagine them going to church all these days with Jesus and just walking right by this fella? But today was a new day. This was a different, man, I heard that fella ask alms time and time again. But today it's a new day. And I mean, like a different anointing struck Peter and John that day. oh, God, I can't wait for this to happen for the belief. All of a sudden, I mean, you just going along like your normal every day. I'm not talking about fasting and praying for this to happen. I'm talking about just being in position so God can use you whenever he wants to use you. That's the believer's authority. Oh, God. I'm talking about just being yourself. I ain't talking about trying to act like somebody else, but just being yourself, and God dropped this down in your spirit. Wait a minute. Oh, that I'm telling you, that's powerful. I'm not talking about somebody coming up to you in the grocery store. Oh, give me your hand. I got a word for you. Oh, come outside. I want to see you. A Honda, Prelude. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that at all. Because I done seen a lot of that, and none of that go nowhere. Oh, you're going to meet somebody with salt and pepper hair. They're going to have $1 million for you. When? When am I supposed to meet this person? Don't give it to me when I can't use it. Give it to me now. I need it right now. See, I mean, I'm not talking about nobody guessing and playing games with God like that. I'm talking about the real thing. God sent an anointing upon Peter and John at that time, and you know, he didn't walk past this man many a days, walk right past him. But all of a sudden today, man, look on us. Keep reading. Verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." So he think he's gonna get some money. And Peter said, "Nah, that's not what I'm here to talk about, bro. I mean, I can look beyond that. You don't need no money." Because I'm going to tell you, everybody don't need just, I like this, you don't just need money, you just need to, you need to get healed so you can go to work. Amen. That's all. You just need your tools, your utensils so you can go to work. That's what you need. God going to bless you with a job. Hallelujah. See, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat. But if you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for the rest of his life. Because he know how to bait the hook. He know how to go out there and dig for a little worm. He know, if you see the birds going, you go over there. Start digging for some worms. See? Get yourself, get on the hook, throw it out there. And don't, you can't be so quick now pulling it in. Wait till you feel a little tug on the line. Oh, glory to God. Wait till you feel a little tug on the line. You just can't be. I mean, that's where most of our problem is right now. We're trying to clean the fish before we even catch them. Let's first get them out of the water. And I'm going to tell you, even when you got them out of the water, you better kind of keep them away from the water because he'll jump right back on in. You got the. I got to change your music. I'm changing your music. I'm trying to get you out of the water. I'm going to take you away from the water. Once I get you away from the water, then I can put you in a pan somewhere. But if you're a little bit too close to that water, you just got just an ounce of life in you. You will flap till you get back in the water. And all of a sudden, you get renewed. My God. That's the way it is. I mean, as a Christian, you get too far from Christ. If you just get back just a little close where you can smell the water, like the deer panting for the water. If I can just get to the water. Oh, my. If I can just get there. Oh, I'm going to be all right. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Let me just ask one question. I know I've been up here for a while. Y'all with me? Amen. Okay. All right. I'm bringing it home. I promise. We ain't going nowhere but to eat after this anyway. So why don't y'all eat some of this food right here first? Man, for y'all. You know. And what we try to do sometimes is give you a smorgasbord. Yeah, I'm not against the buffet. I'm giving you some buffet today. That's what they told me last week. Brother Ryan said, "Oh, so you telling us we can't go to Golden Corral no more?" I ain't say that. If you want to go and you want to take me, let's go. Amen. That's all I'm saying. But I'm also saying now, don't sit there telling people got to roll you out of Golden Corral. You done ate too much. And you done ate so much, now you're trying to get back there the next day. You know that's bad for your body. That'll hurt you, you know. Yeah. Amen. Then you talk about somebody lay hands on me. You did that to yourself. Yeah. We're going to pray for you now. But you need to get some wisdom. Don't go back and do the same thing all over again. Yeah. Somebody say amen. Yeah. All right. Clap those hands for Jesus. Amen. Just let me know you're with me. All right, listen, let's try to finish this up. Verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, y'all know, y'all musicians know what song I want to sing after reading that. Filled with wonder. Y'all can think of that song, right? All right. Revelation song. That's my song. All right. Listen, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, we could go much further than that, but all I want to do is just kind of show you how Jesus left some things for his church to continue after he left the scene. Church is not just for Peter and John. It's for anyone that believes. This is the believer's authority. It's the believer's authority. We got to get to a place where we just expect God to do it every time. If I lay hands on the sick, I'm expecting them to recover. And every time somebody gets sick, I'm going to keep praying. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to keep praying until I see God fulfill his word on my behalf. In my life, it's the believer's authority. God richly bless you. God richly bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's have the musicians come. Let's just let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, just for your word today. As we, Lord, just try to remind your people. Your prophet told us that because of what happened in the beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, Lord, the pipes now have become clogged. And we're clogged with domestic affair. We're clogged with troubles and things on the job, things happening in the home. Lord, we're clogged with things in school. Lord, we're just clogged up. Our minds are so centered on these things that we forget what you truly put us here on earth to do and to accomplish. And God, we're just an extension of the things that have already happened in Scripture. Your prophet also told us, you have no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet, no mouth but our mouth. God, help us to bring ourselves to a place where we can completely surrender to you, that you might have the preeminence in us. Lord, help us, God. Father, we want to be identified as believers, believing the word of God and only the word of God. Not, Lord, filling our mouth with doubt, unbelief, but, Lord, filling our mouth with praise and adoration and worship, even when, amen, things are not going our way. Help us, Lord, to be able to receive from you. We trust, Lord Jesus, that you, God, would get the glory out of these 16 elements that you placed on this earth. Amen. Our lives, get glory out of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. My, 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 my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I hope, dude, I want to sing the song, the Revelation song, and I pray that we have the words there. If not, do we have words over here? Yeah, let me get them, please. Amen. Hallelujah. How many just love the Lord Jesus? Amen. Churches, don't let us die and be in vain. Don't let us die and be in vain. He went to Calvary's cross and suffered, amen, so much for us. And there was purpose to it. It's to restore us back to this place. And amen, it's for us to come here. Amen, we got to make it. I got to make it.
The devil's after me every day, but I'm still pressing on till I can get to this spot that God called me to. Amen. I believe he's called me to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. They'll get the words for you in a little bit. It just says this.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. It's the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Oh, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbow of living colors, flashes of light, thunder. Blessings and honor, strength, glory, and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Come on, somebody help me say it.
Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Softly. Amen. I just want to read this scripture, one more scripture. Romans chapter 8 says this in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And I love this. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. Church, that's the way I feel. Paul wrote those words for this day. Amen. We're waiting. All creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to get back into their place. Amen. Don't let nature down. Don't let nature down. Praise the Lord. Let's keep singing this song. I want to ask that you just stand and help me sing it. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God.
See, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yea, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Lord, you are my everything. Oh, and I will adore you. Say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Come on, put those hands together. Come on. Is to come. Yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Lord, you are my everything. Oh, and I will adore you. Say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Lord, you are my everything, and I will adore you one more time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Lord, you are my everything. Hey, oh, come on, let's worship him. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to. Oh, you are my everything. Yeah. Oh, listen. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Say, holy, holy is he. Yeah. Now sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, 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 holy God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, 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 yeah. With all creation I sing praise. Whoa. Yeah, I will adore you. One more verse, listen. He's filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy is the Lord God, who was and is to come. Yeah, with all creation praise. Come on, you are my everything. Come on, I will adore you. All right, just a congregation. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Lord, you are my everything, and I will adore. Come on, everybody. Say, holy, holy is the Lord. Who was and is to come. Come on. Yeah. With all creation, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Come on and give him praise. Somebody exalt him in this place today. Thank you, Jesus. God, that's our testimony. That's our desire. Lord, we're going to worship you no matter what it is that we're going through. God, we have a determination. We have authority as believers. And as that policeman, he doesn't have power to stop that vehicle, but he has authority. And all, amen, the government stands behind that badge. We wear the badge of believers. We realize all heaven stands behind what we ask for. God, help us to represent that, amen, Lord, our position in the right way. Help us to represent appropriately. And God, if there's one that does not know you, the pardoning of sins, Lord, they can't walk in this place. They realize it because they're not in fellowship with you. God, I pray that you begin to tug in their hearts even right now, and that you would deal with them. Lord, even right where they're sitting, they can submit to you. God, they can lift their hands and put a stop to the enemy in their life. Even right where they're sitting, Lord, it's a commitment, amen, made from their heart to yours. God, a prayer can be prayed right there where they're sitting. Lord, they can ask forgiveness for their sins right where they're sitting. God, you can forgive them right there. They can ask you to come in and take control of their life right where they're sitting. God, I pray if there's one that you would deal with their heart even right there. Minister to their needs. We thank you for your word of strength and encouragement on this day. God, as we prepare to leave this place but not your presence, we ask that you would go with us, go before us, surround us, keep us, protect us from the hands of the enemy. Oh God, we just appreciate all that you do. It's all about you. It's not about us, God, but it's all about you. And we're here to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is. Oh, yeah. Praise to the King of Kings, you are. And I will adore you. Come on, one more time. Holy is the Lord God, who was and is and is. Come on, with all creation, praise to the King. You are my everything, and I will. Oh, yeah. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. We just want to make mention that the dinner, amen, we'll move it up. We'll start it at 2 o'clock. Amen. You just bring your food there to the house. And anybody that needs directions or whatever, just see us and we'll let you know. It's right around the corner here from the church, probably within a mile or so. But just see us and we'll make sure if you don't know, or we can just get you to follow somebody. Amen. We may also, brothers, when we get there,
just so that we don't take too much of the space there with all the neighbors. We may have some of the saints park at the pool area up front, and then we'll just transport them back and forth from the pool area, if you don't mind. So, amen. But we'll start at 2 o'clock for the dinner. Amen. And actually, right after service, I forgot to last week we had communion. We do communion on the first Sunday, but typically, because Sister Carter's not able to come back, I do commune her, amen, before everybody else. And I forgot to do that last week, so I have to do that after service today. And I know that there were some saints that did not make it to communion. If you desire to commune at this time, we'll do that with you as well, amen, before we leave today. But I have the brothers just come, and we'll dismiss all that need to be dismissed, and we'll pick up our fellowship at the house. Amen. God richly bless you. You have authority as a believer. Amen. You have authority. God richly bless you. Praise the Lord. One more quick announcement. This week, we wish congratulations to Ryan and Charlene. They had a little boy. Is that right? Amen. Ryan Jr. Amen. They were here last Sunday, and this week, amen, a new baby boy has come. And we thank God for just bringing a healthy baby boy, amen, into the family. Amen. God richly bless you. I thank one of the, I don't know if that was Bianca. She asked me, you got any boys? No. You want some? Yeah, but not now. I wanted them. And my baby is 14. Almost out. Where's she at? She gone already. Where's she at? She out, told you. But we thank the Lord for bringing Ryan Jr., amen, to us. God richly bless you.